Joshua 24 and 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Tell your neighbor, serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord.
"And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods," little g, "which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Yes. Yes.
"And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods," little g. Jeremiah 17 and 6 says, "Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Blessed is the man who trusted in the Lord. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning, the choice that counts. The choice that counts. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. When Jeremiah is writing, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." What that means is that whose confidence is in the Lord, who's secure in the Lord, who's bold in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, who has refuge in the Lord. Blessed is that man. And Father's Day is today, and we salute and we honor the fathers that are here today, and those that are raising your kids, their kids, and our kids. And it's a shout out to all the moms that have filled that role. Amen. And take filling in the gap. But there's estimated 72 million fathers across the nation. And over, I thought this was interesting. There's over 72 million Father's Day cards that will be sent out, but that's still less than Christmas, Valentine's, and Mother's Day. And 20% of those Father's Day cards will come from wives that send them to their husbands. Over 40 countries have a day to celebrate and to honor Dad. In 2017, there were 2 million households led by a single father. This is startling. This is a 900% increase from the 1960s. We thought the 60s were rough. Or you folks did. This year, Americans are expected to spend over $15 billion on Father's Day gifts. That's approximately $133 per person. Some will buy Dad a shirt, a mug, a hamburger, a tie. Hopefully it's a gift card to their favorite store. Praise God. I pray a blessing over that for all of you. But lots of choices and decisions to make about ensuring that we make the choice that matters. You know, I don't know about you, but there's things that you'll never probably hear your dad say. Why did you stop whining? When is it my turn to wash the dishes? Feels like forever since I washed dishes. You probably will never hear your dad say, if your friends are doing it, you can do it too. You're probably never going to hear your dad say, curfew? What is curfew? Or, when I was growing up, we had it easy. Probably not going to hear your dad say that. But definitely, probably not going to hear your dad say this: I'm lost. It's time to pull over and ask for directions. With that, I say happy Father's Day one more time to all of the fathers. We value you. We appreciate you. And it's the choices that we make to honor Dad and to celebrate Dad. It's some today have lost their dads, and the memories of Father's Day gone by are still vital, important, and you cannot bury the influence or the memory of Dad. Dads like today are tough. Father's Day is tough for some. Not everybody is able to celebrate Father's Day the way that they used to, or the way they think they can. And it's even tougher for me as a pastor to try in 35 minutes to include every aspect or angle of Father's Day that meets the expectation of everyone. But it's the choice that matters. It's the choice that matters. Choices that some will make phone calls today to Dad, visit the cemetery. I called my father on the way to church this morning, and some will go to the park. Some will have tacos after church, and others, however, will celebrate their father or dad in other ways. But many maybe even celebrated last weekend or next weekend. Some will celebrate all month long. I like those celebrations as long as it includes a gift card to your favorite place of shopping. But it's how we choose to honor the life of our father. Life is made of choices. And I'm going to kind of cut through some of the building the foundation and kind of get right to the chase. And I want you to hear me, dads. I want you to understand that you matter.
Yeah.
And you fill in the blank. But you matter.
Yeah.
You're needed. You're vital. You're important to the spiritual, emotional, and physical stability of our families.
Yeah.
Consider this. Tonight, enough teenagers, enough to fill the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the average Super Bowl will practice prostitution to support drug addictions. 1 million teenagers will get pregnant out of wedlock this year. 500,000 of those will have an abortion. Of all the 14-year-old girls alive today, 40% will become pregnant by their 19th birthday. Every 78 seconds, a teenager in America attempts suicide. That's in America. According to Lifeway Research Group, Father's Day is the holiday with the lowest average church attendance statistically. Very sobering. Very sobering. But consider this. When both parents attend Bible study in addition to Sunday service, 72% of their children attend church when grown. When only the father attends Sunday school or church, 55% of those children will attend church when grown. 55%. Consider that to when only mom, 15%. Or when neither parent, 6%. Notice this. In another survey that I found, if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5 probability everyone else in the household will follow. 17% probability if mom becomes a Christian that everyone else in the house will follow. But if dad goes to church, and if dad goes and becomes a Christian, there's a 93% probability everybody in the casa will go to church. It's a choice that matters. Dad's impact on the kids and faith is huge. Fathers, we have a tremendous impact on the overall spirituality and relationship of our families that they have with God. It's been said that it's harder to lead a family than to rule a nation. Dads, let me encourage you this morning with the words of Moses, or that the Lord had given Moses and shared with the generation, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them, I like this word, diligently unto thy children. That's powerful. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest at the house. So you've got to talk about it and diligently teach them. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. Oh, and furthermore, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and shall be frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We diligently have got to teach our children not only about salvation, but about having a real relationship with our Heavenly Father. We got to be diligent about it. We got to write about it. We got to talk about it. We got to pray about it. We got to teach them. It's got to consume us. Because it's the choice that counts. We talk about the Lord, but do we live for the Lord?
Amen.
Right.
Well.
Amen.
See, we can pride ourselves. Well, I taught my child how to swim. I was a Michael Phelps in high school, and now I'm going to have another Michael Phelps swimmer in high school.
Yeah.
We teach them how to fish. We show them our favorite fishing holes and how to kick a football, how to barbecue the Santa Maria way.
Yeah.
Those are great. Those things matter. They're important. But we have to make the choice that counts. We have to make the choice that matters. Are you living for God?
Amen.
Do you know Him? Are you making Him known? Are you serving Him? Listen to Pastor. Listen to me this morning. One of the greatest choices that we can make as a father is to live and serve the Lord. That's the choice that counts. Today in our scripture setting, we read Joshua is getting to the end of his life. In fact, he's approximately, the scripture says in Joshua 24, I want to say it's like right around verse 29, that he's 110 years old. So he's lived a lot. He was approximately in his 80s, I want to say, when he began to lead. But he was a gentle warrior. The significance, and I've preached on it before on this angle, but the significance of the meeting is that he calls everyone together. He calls all of the elders, all of the leaders, all of the heads of the family, the judges, the officers. Joshua 24:1 is very clear on who was there. And he calls them to a place of Shechem. And I'm going to be brief, but Shechem was the place that Abraham built an altar in Genesis 12. Jacob bought land and built an altar in Genesis 20:33. Jacob stamped out idolatry and buried the pagan idols in Genesis 35. Rehoboam was made king in 1 Kings 12:1. And then Joshua built an altar at Mount Ebal, but Shechem is in Mount Ebal in Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. And Joshua stands with everybody there and he makes a bold declaration. What's striking is that he just doesn't speak for himself.
Right.
He's speaking for his family. He speaks for the household. And he boldly declares and makes the choice that counts for his family. Joshua stands and emphatically tells those under the sound of his voice and under the influence of his leadership that what he and his family would be doing, that they were going to be serving the Lord.
Yeah.
He made it known that serving the Lord was going to be his priority. It's interesting when you look at Joseph, Joshua, and the Apostle Paul, aside from obviously Jesus Christ, are kind of three of my most favorite Bible characters, in Nehemiah as well. But it's interesting when we understand the history of Joshua. Remember, Joshua was born a slave. He traveled in the wilderness. Let's not forget, we think Joshua was the promised land and the walls of Jericho, and he went into a land full of milk and honey. But Joshua's beginning wasn't very profound. He was a slave. But he was a protege of Moses. He saw the hand of God. He saw miracles, but he learned from Moses. Moses was his spiritual father. He walked with Moses. Joshua saw an entire generation die. Imagine that. 40 years gone. Let's just be real. Everybody 40, I'm in that category now. Everybody 40 years or older gone. Just for an example. There's a lot of us in here. Joshua was part of a generation that saw his peers, his relatives, his parents, and cousins die. Dead and die in the wilderness, so close to the promises of God because of choices. Really, in my opinion, because of one choice. Choice to not obey God. We could break it down to different avenues that they were disobedient. Choices because they wanted to cry and murmur and complain and didn't want to trust God because they got discouraged. They believed God, but they didn't have, I talked about it Wednesday night. They were fearful enough to leave Egypt, but didn't have faith enough to go into the promised land. But choices. They saw the promised land as good, but the occupiers as giants. But Joshua didn't allow that spirit to get a grip of his heart. He vowed to remain faithful. Joshua and Caleb were the two that were spared from that generation and ultimately went into the promised land. His past did not define his future.
Right.
Think about that. That's powerful. It was a minimal setback. I'm sure he learned from it. I'm sure he attended a lot of funerals and walked away and said, it didn't have to be that way. But it was the choice that matters. He was a man of faith and vision. Numbers 13 and 14. He spied the land with Caleb. He brought back a positive report. Throughout his life, we read that Joshua was a man of accountability. He was responsible. He was faithful. He was obedient. He was courageous. In fact, the Lord, two instances that I can think of, tells him, be strong and courageous. He was dedicated to God. Proverbs 20 and 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? I would see Joshua as a man that his public and his private life were exactly the same. What you saw him be at the office, on the job site, at the park, was who he was at home and at church. He made choices that counted. He ensured that he put God number one. Notice, Joshua was the one that helped Moses lead the people before he led them for approximately 25 years on his own. He waited at the foot of the mountain for Moses to go up and to come back down with the commandments in Exodus 24. He was a military leader. Read the book of Joshua. In fact, the entire book of Joshua, it's about conquering and occupying the land of Canaan. I believe Joshua is a good example. I believe he was a team player. I believe that I know he wasn't perfect. I know he had mistakes and quirks. Every leader does. But you know what? He made the choice that counted. He made the choice that matters. And what he did in our scripture setting is where I'm going to preach from. That sets Joshua aside from so many people in the Bible and life today is the principle established in Joshua 24 and verse 15. If it seems evil to you, you decide for you whether you're going to follow the gods, the idols.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it was. It was idols. The besetting sin of the children of Israel was idolatry. And it's still the besetting sin today of not just our nation, of the world. We don't necessarily have an idol that we bow down to, a statue of ceramic or porcelain that we bow down to and we worship, but we got a lot of things that we idolize that carries us away from the Lord in mind, in spirit, and in heart. And it's not the choice that matters to serve that, because you're serving that. It's the choice that matters to cut it off and say, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's made me money. I have a good time, but it's getting in the way with me and my relationship with the Lord. And he tells him, you do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua knew that all service was not free and voluntarily. Not everybody was going to do what he said, what he commanded, what he preached about, what he testified. But that didn't matter. He was going to serve the Lord no matter what. He basically calls everyone together and says, guys, you understand our history. You know where we've been. He begins to summarize in various verses about how they got to where they were. But sometimes some of us need to get a summary of what we used to be to where we are now, to where God's going to take us. Because a lot of times we look at the reality and say, I don't have this. And we're making choices that don't matter, when we should be making the choice that matters. Sometimes we need a good reminder. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. That's powerful. As the testimonies as a heritage forever. For they are rejoicing of my heart. When I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
And all he has done for me. My soul. Hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. That testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are rejoicing of my heart. Joshua says, you need to do what you need to do. But in case you're wondering what I'm going to do and my family's going to do, I'm going to make the choice that matters. We're serving the Lord, plain and simple. It's so profound, but so elementary. So simplistic, but so powerful. I'm serving the Lord. A man that accomplished so much, yet at the end of his life, the thing that he is known for is Joshua 24:15. One of the staples, when you think of Joshua, you immediately think, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You may not even know where that was at in the Bible before today, but you heard it and you're like, well, he's the man responsible for saying that. And not just saying it, he lived it. Notice the scripture will tell us that even though he died, that there was an entire generation of leaders and elders that continued to serve the Lord even after he was gone. Because he made the choice that mattered. And in serving the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. Every fiber that I have within me, I'm going to serve the Lord. When it says fear the Lord, that means to have reverence as him as the sole object of your life. The center of it all. He's the reason why we breathe, yeah, literally. But he should be the reason why we live spiritually. Yeah. Serve him. When you serve somebody, you're a servant to them. And you do it with gladness. Today, the fathers are going to receive. You're going to receive all day long, hopefully, from loved ones and kids. They're going to be serving you tea and serving you pizza. Or maybe you got a list of chores. You got to mow the lawn because this is the only day they're going to do stuff without complaining. And they're going to serve and going to serve. But we ought to serve the Lord with all that we have and all that we're going to be, in sincerity and in truth. Putting away the other gods or the idols and make the choice that matters. Dads, can we learn from Joshua this morning?
Amen.
Perhaps be encouraged by the stance that he took in front of a nation. My family and I are going to serve the Lord. That means that I would rather go to church than go fishing. But I'm going to church. That means on Monday, I serve the Lord. Call us religious. Call us Bible thumpers. Call us whatever you want to call me, but I'm going to make the choice that matters, and I'm going to serve the Lord. In serving him, I will perform his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Regardless of what the fellas are doing, regardless of what our friends do, co-workers, peers, cousins, regardless of what the rest of the family's doing or not doing, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I boldly declare to some of us today to make a stance and say, in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, what you think you're going to do, but in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. We may not serve them the way Pastor Panero does because we're brand new Christians. We just 1 week old. We just got into the church. We barely had a Bible study. We don't even have the Holy Ghost yet. But we're going to follow the Lord in reverence and sincerity. Pastor's going to teach us. The Word of God's going to help us. But in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. The choice that matters is that we serve the Lord. You see, the commitment we make as fathers is critical. Remember the 93%. Proverbs 20:7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I read that as saying, the father's blessed. And then the children are blessed after him. The father may be gone, but the children will be blessed anyways. Grandpa may be gone, but the grandkids are blessed because of Grandpa served the Lord. Because Grandpa made the choice that mattered and that counted. Men are the stability or the staple of families and relationships according to biblical principles. I commend the men of Revival Tabernacle because for months, pre-service prayer is filled with men at the altar worshiping and giving God glory.
Amen.
We're making the choice that counts. If you're here today and you've missed the mark or you've stumbled along the way, I got great news. Today is a great day to make the choice that counts.
Amen.
And make a fresh commitment. Dad, our families need us to lead the charge and be godly fathers. God has appointed us to be. It's an appointment. Psalm 119 and 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments."
Yeah.
Fathers, our form of idols have to be removed if they are hindering your relationship with God and your family. You can't hide them, but you need to bury them and destroy them. And they have to be removed. Let's make the choice that counts. How about we serve the Lord together? Instead of fighting one another, judging one another, comparing ourselves against another, being jealous, envious, revengeful, critical, why don't we serve the Lord together?
Yeah.
Let's make the choice that matters. Let's teach our kids how to pray, how to love, how to share, how to say please and thank you and God bless you.
Yeah.
See, we've been appointed for such a time as this. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." See, some of us read it that way. But the first portion says, and says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's just to the fathers.
Yeah.
It's not to the mothers. It's to the fathers. That's the choice that counts. Ensuring that they have a Bible before they have a baseball glove. Showing them how to worship before you show them a three-point stance. Demonstrating love and passion for Jesus like we do for the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Fathers, I'm challenging us this morning to make the choice that matters. See, we get things done. Oh, yeah. We're fixers. We're solution-based by nature. By nature, we want respect. That's us. We haven't always made the best choices in life. I'd be the first to put myself out there. But let's get this choice right forever and make the choice that matters to serve the Lord no matter what. In Joshua 22 and 5, he's talking of, "But take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, a servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." When you're cleaving to something, you're clingy. That's what that means. You're clingy. I know some of us use that not in a good way. She's too clingy and she don't ever let him go out with the guys. Well, we need to be clingy with our walk with God. Yeah. Nothing wrong with being clingy. Real men worship. Real men pray. Real men love the Lord and serve the Lord. They're clingy to God because they're making the choice that matters. If I gain the whole world and I lose my soul, no bueno. But guess what? If I can get my parents or my children to heaven, I could get them in the church. I could show them. I could teach them. Do as I do, not as I say I do. In the end, it's going to be all right. It's the choice that counts. Dad, you're influential. You're a father figure to others, whether you realize it or not. Dad, the choice is ours. Actually, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. What will control us? Don't swallow the hook of sin and despair and lust and idols and temptations. Because once you swallow the hook, it's hard to get it out. But choose you this day. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, our kids got to decide for them. Well, I beg to differ. Joshua showed it in his house. They're living in the house. And he said, "You know what? I speak for everybody under the sound of my roof that lives in my house. You're going to eat my food. We're going to serve the Lord. You're not paying the PG&E bill yet. We're going to serve the Lord. You don't got to serve them the way I serve them, but you better serve the Lord. You got to make the choice that counts." Mom, grandma, kids, let's support Dad.
Yeah.
Well, that was weak. Mom, grandma, kids, let's support dad.
Amen!
Let's encourage dad. We ought to be dad's biggest fan. Well, that's weak. That's lame. We ought to be dad's biggest fan. The lady at the office with her shouldn't be dad's biggest fan. She's got one thing on her mind. She's trying to ruin a relationship. Come on, so the boss, hey, ought not to be your dad's biggest fan, the clients or the customers, but we ought to be dad's biggest fan. When he comes home, we ought to say, Dad, I'm so glad you're home. I didn't have time to cook, but I ordered a pizza. It's on its way, because we're making the choice that matters. A family that worships together, a family that prays together, a family that comes to church together is going to have an easier time getting to heaven. Dad has enough haters and naysayers outside the home. He don't need any at home when he gets back. Even if you have to remind him every 6 months to do something. Be easy on him. He has enough pressures outside the home already. He doesn't need any more battles when he gets home. He's battling everything all day long. The devil's got a target on his back trying to tear him down because of the 93%. Don't you forget about that. That is a real statistic. 93%. Man. Devil's already looking to tear him down. The home needs to be a place of support and safety.
Yeah.
Devil wants to divide the home, and in most cases, he does it by coming after the father.
Yep.
We need to make the choice that matters, the choice that counts. Families, Revival Tabernacle, we need to lift dad up.
Amen.
We need to stand by his side. We need to pray for him. You need to tell him that you love him. You need to pray for him. You need to tell him that you love him. We need to lift dad up. We need to stand by his side. We need to pray for dad. We need to tell dad that we love him. We need to lift dad up. We need to stand by his side. We need to pray for dad. You need to tell dad that you love him. We need to stand by his side. We need to lift dad up. And we need to pray for dad. It's the choice that matters. Give him a high five. Let him take a nap every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like every Sunday afternoon. Let him go to Friday men's fellowship. Well,
amen.
Proverbs 27 and 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There's just something that happens at Friday night men's fellowship. What happens at men's fellowship is powerful. What happens in a men's prayer meeting or devotion? Eating tacos, it's powerful. Guys just want to get together. Man, they ought to be so happy. Say, oh, Friday night, men's fellowship. You ought to see if Brother Drozick will let you get there at 6 o'clock. Instead of 6:30. You ought to be happy. Because iron sharpeneth iron. If you musicians come. Celebrate dad today. And celebrate him big. Do the best you can. As long as it's ethical and legal and not against the law, morally right, do the best you can, and you can afford it. Don't go putting it on credit.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Be a good steward. Dad will understand the choice that counts. You've had all year to wait for this day. Not your bad, you forgot. The choice that counts. We all today can make and need to make the choice that counts.
Right.
Salvation is the choice that counts. Repentance is the choice that matters. Getting baptized is the choice that matters.
Yep.
Getting refocused and setting our sights on heaven is the choice that matters. Count the cost of the choices that we've all made over our life. Some we're really proud of. Others, we're not telling anybody. Nobody knows but the Lord. Nobody knows but the Lord. Because we've made choices lots of times that were poor, that were impulsive, that were ignorant, that were youthful. Why don't we make the choice, everybody here this morning, the choice that matters as we stand? I want to be proud that at the end of it all, no matter how big or successful in worldly terms Revival Tabernacle as a ministry becomes, in worldly terms, when I've preached my last sermon, I've given my last offering, and I've breathed my last air, that my legacy as a Christian would continue with the generations to follow. That's a success.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I look across the congregation this morning, a beautiful congregation, and I see multiple 4-5 generation families in this room this morning. Somebody made the choice that mattered 3, 4, 5 generations ago. Some of you need the Holy Ghost. Some of you have the Holy Ghost, but you've made wrong choices and you need to get recalibrated this morning before you leave. Before we take pictures next door, by the way, an 8-foot by 8-foot photo booth with a sign that says, "I'm Dad's favorite," or something like that. There's one that's similar to that. You owe it to yourself today to go take a picture with Dad. But we all need to make the choice that matters this morning before we leave. Before we get our gifts, before we eat lunch, before Dad takes his afternoon nap. We need to make the choice that matters. To know Him and to make Him known. We need to make the choice that matters. To give our life to the Lord, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name. Come on. We need to make the choice that matters. To be rooted in a church, to grow in a church, to bear fruit in a church, but not just in a church, but to be rooted to the Lord, to grow in the Lord, to bear fruit in the Lord, to exemplify some of the things we've been talking about, and make the choice that matters. Because as for me, in case you're wondering, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be an apostolic, Pentecostal, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, holiness preacher. But before I'm a preacher, I'm going to be a Christian at home and lead my family. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it. Because I made the choice 9 years ago when I dedicated my baby to the Lord before God, my pastor, and my church that I was going to do everything I can. I wasn't going to waver. I wasn't going to back up. But I was going to teach her diligently the Word of God. And I vow to you, as a pastor, I'm not going to back up. I may make mistakes. I may come across not very kind, and I try to teach you with love and lead you with humility. But guess what? We got to make the choice that matters, and we got to serve the Lord, because that's all that matters in the end. So we pour out. The altars are open. Would you make the choice that matters? As it is a custom that I have made a practice on services like today, if you want me to pray for you, I'll stand right here. You make a line and I'll pray for you. But I think we all need to make the choice that matters. Talk to the Lord this morning.
You give life, you are love, you bring light
to the darkness.
To the darkness. You give hope, you restore.
Oh, hallelujah.
Every heart that is broken.
Great. Come on, that's it.
So we pour out our praise. You pour out our praise.
everything.
You bring life.